This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Seven elk, part of a small herd of less than 30 that are part of a reintroduction program in Jackson County near Black River Falls, died within 6 months of their initial release. Still, despite what sounds like a rather high mortality rate during the early part of the program, officials for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources say that in general, things have been going well in recent weeks since the elk were released into the wild from a quarantine pen in mid-August. Wisconsin DNR big game specialist Kevin Wallenfang shared the latest on the elk initiative with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis.
Animals have not gone more than about 3 or 4 miles from the original release site, and we know this because each one of those animals is wearing a GPS tracking collar around its neck. So we are getting two locations every day of where the elk are spending their time. This is something that we would do to monitor the herd and monitor life and death for them, the type of habitat they are using, the movements they're making, and that kind of thing. So in that time, those collars have told us quite a bit. As I said, they're not really going very far, which is our goal. That's why we have the acclimation period, to keep those animals from wanting to go very far. They get used to the area that they're in. Those collars have also told us that we have lost two animals out there. We had one that the first one was killed by wolves. This, however, was an animal that did have some other health issues going on. After her carcass was found, we were able to collect the head and take a look at it. You know, we test them for chronic wasting disease whenever we can. But this animal showed signs of having something that we commonly refer to as brainworm. It's something that's very common in Wisconsin deer, and they are able to survive it. Elk oftentimes are as well, but this animal was one that was affected by it. So it's something that we've seen in the elk population in the Clam Lake area before. So it's not certainly not something new to our Wisconsin deer elk population, and it's not a major threat to them as well. So the other animal that we lost out there was an animal that unfortunately was hit by a vehicle. We don't really have a lot of details about that situation. We had heard a rumor that an animal had been hit, but it was not hit and died immediately on the side of the road. It apparently lived for a few days and was found quite some ways back away from a road. But again, a post-mortem examination gave pretty clear evidence that the animal had been hit by a vehicle.
So after these two animals were released, they died. And prior to that, when the animals were being quarantined, you had 5 tick-related deaths. 7 deaths in a herd like that is not a surprise, I guess?
It's kind of one of the unfortunate things, if you want to look at it that way. It's kind of one of the sacrifices that are made to bring back and for the better good of the entire population. So, every single one of these deaths, we have a lot invested in this, both emotionally and financially. And, we have done everything that we can throughout this process. Our main goal has always been for the best care of the animals. And we've gone through a lot of painstaking techniques and care and, with caretakers and all kinds of things going on there. So we hate to lose any of them, but it does happen. And, we gained some of those animals back. We did have some calves born in the pen this year. We currently have 4 calves out on the landscape as well as part of the overall herd. So, your goal is to bring as many as you can and get them through to release and hope that they start to reproduce very quickly.
Now, we're in the midst of the boa deer hunting season, and we have the gun season coming up in November, as always. Is the Department of Natural Resources concerned about the hunting season and how the elk herd will survive that?
The vast majority of hunters out there are very safety conscious, as is seen by our record over the last several years. We've had very few shooting accidents. We always encourage hunters, no matter, whether it's an elk or whatever it might be, and especially a person, to identify their target and beyond it, and, you know, to always be very safe when handling firearms. So, you know, probably some of the good news out in the area where the elk are in Jackson County this year is that the regulations for most hunters are for bucks only. So that reduces significantly the possibility that somebody would misidentify a cow elk for an antlerless deer. The antlers that are on these elk are, you know, in some cases quite large. You certainly would not mistaken them for a deer. So we are trying to get the word out there to make sure that hunters in the area are very much aware that the elk are out there and they are protected. We have made up some signs that are being posted around the community, as well as public hunting parking lots out in the, you know, Dyke 17 in the Black River State Forest and that kind of thing, to make sure that hunters are aware that the animals are out there, and again, that they are protected and they need to use caution and make sure they know exactly what they're shooting at.
How about the upcoming winter? What is the concern with winter?
You know, winters vary greatly, and, you know, our elk in the Clam Lake area in most years have come through winter without any kind of problems and ill effects that would impact the herd growth. So, you know, elk do stand taller than deer. They, you know, they can feed higher into a tree. They feed on different things. We are, you know, in the Central Forest part of the state, Jackson County, we really are not overly concerned about what would happen there. I mean, they may get some snow effect and that kind of thing, but for the most part, the elk should come through that without any real problem.
Now, a wolf already got one elk. Are there other wildlife predators to be concerned about?
Well, there are multiple wolf packs right in the area, and, you know, at this point, the elk have been out there for about 7 weeks, and, you know, other than the one incident with an animal that had other health issues, we have not lost another animal to a wolf. And again, you know, we have these tracking collars on them, so we know that for certain. And, you know, it's kind of part of the whole reintroduction here. You know, we see what happens, but for the most part, they're doing very, very well right now, and we've not had any other wolf mortalities. There are other predators in the area, primarily bears, and bears typically are not any kind of a predator to elk until the springtime when they start having their calves. And, you know, that can be influenced greatly, too, by, you know, when spring green-up happens and, you know, the length of the winter and those kind of things, too. So they're all part of the reintroduction process, and, you know, I really don't have a whole lot to share on specifically in Jackson County right now. We haven't lost any to a bear and just the one to a wolf. So hopefully that trend will continue, and we'll continue to see, you know, hopefully some good herd growth here in the next few years.
Where are the elk in their life cycle? For example, do we have a mixture of too many old elk, or are there a lot of newborn elk in this herd that we could expect some attrition to happen just naturally in this herd?
It had better happen, or we're going to be in trouble. So we have a good mix of animals out there. Most of them are on the younger side of life. So I forget the exact numbers at the moment, but there's, I want to say, 8 or 9 bulls out there, so males. But most of those are only about 1.5 years old, and there are 2 of them that are 2.5 years old, and that is as old as they are. So, you know, they've got many, many years of prime breeding age to spread their genetics and everything else out there. So, you know, in the Clam Lake area, we have had cow elk that have lived to be 20-plus years old. And, you know, if they're producing a calf each of those years or most of those years, that's pretty significant to the overall population. We had, I want to say, well, we had 4 calves born this spring. And then all of those bulls that we have out there are less than 3 years old, and probably more than half of the cows are less than 3 years old as well. So for the most part, we've got a nice young population, and like I said, you know, hopefully we're going to see some good breeding going on and good reproduction, and the population will grow as it was intended. And again, don't forget, there are more elk coming.
Could you talk about the Jackson County location where the herd is and why it's a good one for elk?
The elk are located east of the city of Black River Falls, and there's a pretty significant block of properties out there that are made up of county lands, state forest lands, and, you know, it's an area that has been looked at for many years as an area that is fairly wild in nature. I mean, there are, you know, a few people living out in the area. There is a very small amount of agriculture going on out there. Most of that is cranberries. But, you know, just the fact that we have a pretty significant wolf population out there, we do have bears and bobcats and all of these things that you associate with wilderness settings, they have lived in that area for quite a while. So, you know, that's a function of overall size of the area and good habitat. And so that is why this area was selected for the elves, because of the fairly low human population right in that area, especially because of the type of habitat that's out there. It was deemed to be suitable. And so, you know, that's part of the experiment here, to see just how they adjust to the area, what type of habitats that they show that they prefer, and that sort of thing. So it's a beautiful area. It's got a lot of wetlands in it. It's got a lot of open grass area, but it also has a nice cover of woodlands that produce a lot of acorns and things like that that elk find highly desirable as a food source. So we think they're going to do very, very well out there. There's a lot of habitat, and there's a lot of area to spread them out in, and that is a real key to reducing those predator impacts. You know, one of the problems that we've seen in our Clam Lake herd is that the elk spend most of their time on very small private properties that have prime habitat on them. So, you know, the predators don't have difficulty finding them, and so this is one of the things that we're trying to combat with bigger and better habitat.
Are there concerns about the public and the elk mixing?
Let's keep in mind, for starters, that the reason elk are being put out there is for the public. There's a lot of support behind this. We have actually done surveys and polls and whatnot out there ourselves. And, you know, we tend to see 85 to 90% public acceptance of what is happening here. So the public would like to see it happen. With any kind of wildlife out there, there's always the possibility that an animal is going to get into some sort of trouble, whether that be in crops or hit on the highway or whatever. So, you know, long before the elk ever arrived there, in fact, years and years ago, the whole situation was really assessed around the state, and there were pockets that were felt to be best areas to put elk, and the Jackson County Forest area was one of those. You know, elk in the eastern part of the United States tend to not wander very far, so unlike their western cousins where, you know, they'll make a 20 or 30-mile move overnight, we don't find that, and all of the eastern states pretty much find the same thing, that when you put these animals in a location, for the most part, they tend to stay there. So, for example, up in Clam Lake, most of the animals are still within, you know, 4, 5, 6 miles of where they were originally released in Clam Lake. So we don't expect that they're going to go real far. You know, you do get exceptions to that, and you'll have one that suddenly decides to go cross-country. But so if they stay, for the most part, out in the area where they are being released, we think that our, you know, any kind of potential problems are going to be held to a minimum.
Now, I know traditionally there have been a lot of concerns by farmers, especially cranberry growers, because of potential damage the elk may do to the crops. What is an elk's diet like, and what kind of damage do you expect them to do to agriculture?
You know, elk will eat any kind of a crop out there, so they will take advantage of corn fields and alfalfa fields and things like that if the opportunity is there. But again, like I said, that was all looked at prior to putting these animals out there to try to minimize that risk of that happening. So again, if they stay put where we are hoping that they where they are being released, those problems will be very much minimized. But
and will farmers be reimbursed for those losses?
Wisconsin does have a program already in place that covers elk damage. So if elk were to get into a cranberry bog situation or something like that, we do have the ability already in place to reimburse a farmer for that damage. We have the ability to go in and trap and move that animal if we need to, or, you know, whatever the situation may be, we have the ability to eliminate the problem itself. Many of the cranberry growers, for example, are already enrolled in some way in the wildlife damage program because they have used abatement tactics to keep deer out of their bogs. So many of those bogs are already fenced, and that fence will also be effective on elk.
The elk come from an agreement with the state of Kentucky. Could you talk a little bit about that agreement and what is involved with that?
We have an agreement with them that we will be allowed to capture and relocate up to 50 animals each year for up to as many as 5 years. So we have a 3 to 5 year agreement. You know, we were hoping that we could go down there and catch 50 elk each year and get it done as quickly as possible. But as we learned this year, conditions didn't allow that to happen. We didn't end up with 50. So, but we have this agreement in place. We can take 50 per year, and in exchange for those elk, we are working with them on some grouse habitat projects that they have in their state. Just like we would like to see our elk population increase, they would like to see grouse numbers come back in their state. So we're working with them on that.
Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources big game specialist Kevin Wallenfang talking with WPR's John Davis about the efforts to reintroduce elk in the Jackson County Forest near Black River Falls here in western Wisconsin. They're back with more on the elk program when Newsmakers continues after a short break. You can hear audio archives of today's show on our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm John Gatto. After some 15 years of planning for an elk reintroduction into western Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources finally released the first elk into a forest in Jackson County near Black River Falls earlier this year. But at one time, in the 1800s, there were likely more elk than people in the state. We continue our conversation now between Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis and DNR big game specialist Kevin Wallenfang about the earlier major presence of elk in this part of the state.
Elk were common here. We have either written records or bone fragment and antler records in at least 50 of Wisconsin's 72 counties. So elk were common here. They were, you know, primarily a plains animal. But lots of situations around the state where we had them, primarily in the southern and western part of the state.
Now, what became the elk? Why did they disappear?
Like so many critters out there, you know, as people moved in and started to settle the area, you know, there was unregulated hunting. So they saw elk and deer and buffalo and other critters in Wisconsin as a food source. And, you know, a lot of it really comes down to the loss of habitat as agriculture got more predominant around the state. More of that beautiful prairie got plowed under to plant crops. So goes the habitat, so goes the animals. So elk disappeared from Wisconsin by the late 1800s.
How common are they in the U.S. today?
I believe that more than half the states in the country have elk. Many of the western states have tens of thousands of elk, you know, very high numbers of them. And there's been a significant number of states in the eastern half of the United States that have successfully reintroduced elk. So along with Wisconsin, you know, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Virginia, certainly Kentucky has been the biggest success story there probably. So quite a few states actually have elk, and several more looking to do the same.
We talked a little bit about the Klamath Lake herd, and could you talk about that, how long that's been established and how that program is going up there?
1995, Wisconsin was gifted 25 elk from the state of Michigan. And those arrived here, and, they, you know, that whole thing was really done as kind of a science experiment. It was led by the University of Wisconsin in partnership with the DNR and the U.S. Forest Service and other entities out there. And, you know, it was really done just to see if elk could survive in that part of the state. And they've done quite well over the years. You know, the population growth has been rather slow, but they've also been studied to death. And we know, you know, where the elk spend their time, what they live on, what they eat, what kind of birth rates and things like that we can expect to see, and what eats them, you know, what they die from out there. And we've lost elk to something like 40 different types of death, if you'd want to call it that. So, you know, overall, that population has grown, except in years when we've had very bad winters. So I believe the year 2000, 2001, and then again in 2013 and 14, we did see, you know, more losses than we saw births during the year. But we've got about 160 elk up there. At least that's the number that we would anticipate after calving this year. And, you know, like I said, they've continued to grow despite some of the challenges that they've faced. The overall goal in Clam Lake is to have 1,400 elk. It's also a much larger area compared to the Jackson County effort. There's about 1,600 square miles up there that we've identified as good, suitable elk habitat. And so it's, you know, it's been a long road, and we're trying to accelerate that a little bit by bringing more elk to the area. You know, our elk population started with only 25, and those animals came from Michigan, where they started their population with only 7 animals, and they now have 800 or 900, something like that. So, you know, it's certainly an achievable goal to someday have 1,400 animals, but what we're trying to do is spur that growth a little bit.
You're just starting this effort in Jackson County, but what is the ultimate goal for that herd, and how long could it take to realize that goal?
In Jackson County, our overall goal is about 400 animals. You know, how long it takes to get there, I could not say.
It sounds like it might take a while, though.
It very well may, but, you know, if the conditions are different there, as we are hoping that they will be, we are hoping that we see fewer losses to predators, fewer losses to car accidents, things like that that have happened up in the Clam Lake area. I mean, we've had some strange situations, actually, in Clam Lake. We had a whole herd of them once fall through the Chippewa River, and 4 or 5 of them died. So, you know, you get freak accidents like that that can set back your herd growth a bit. But we're hoping it happens quite a bit quicker, and one of the keys to that is that we're starting with more animals. We started the Jackson County herd with only 25 animals. If we had started that population with 150, we would be at our overall goal of 1,400 by now, based on the type of growth rates that we've seen for that population. So, you know, we're trying to start the Jackson County herd with 75 animals. It took, I want to say, 7 or 8 years to get to 75 in Jackson County. It may have even been more than that. So putting more animals out there from the start is our goal, and hopefully it'll make it happen quicker.
You're planning to track the animals in the state forest in Jackson County. What does that involve, and what are you looking for, I guess, as you track them?
It involves putting a radio collar on each animal. So they're going to wear a collar around their neck. That actually sends out a signal twice a day. It sends us a location. So it's a GPS collar, and it just sends a location to a computer twice a day. And so, you know, that's just kind of general monitoring that we do to look at where they're spending their time, how close they are to situations, as you mentioned earlier, that might get them into trouble. But more importantly, you know, what kind of habitats they're using. We also have requirements with the Department of Agriculture to track these animals for 5 years after they are released for disease monitoring purposes. So there's a little bit of that involved as well. But by following these animals, you know, you learn where they're giving birth. You're able to track the animal and actually go in and find the calf, so you can make determinations as to you know, where they're, what kind of habitat they prefer to have that calf in, how healthy the calf itself is, whether that calf survives or not. All of that information helps us build population models to continue to know, you know, so we will need to know when we do get to that 400 animals out there. Those kind of things are important to monitor when you're trying to determine if there should be a hunting season or not. So you learn an awful lot by following these animals around, and we'll do that. It'll be quite simple, twice a day. Like I said, twice a day we're going to get a location on them.
And will there be routine health checkups?
We don't go and round the animals up and check them, but when an animal dies, we get as much information from that as we possibly can. So, you know, if an animal is out on the landscape and doing well, we assume that it's healthy. But when an animal dies, you know, every animal in Wisconsin gets tested for chronic wasting disease, and they, you know, they get a full necropsy to try to determine what they died from, what kind of condition they were in when they died, whatnot.
You mentioned hunting. I assume we're a long way from that in Wisconsin. But if you eventually reach your goals with these herds, are we going to be talking about an elk hunting season?
Yeah, elk hunting is one of those recreational opportunities that is included in the management plans for both areas. We currently have set numbers in place as to when a hunt could take place. That number in Clam Lake is 200, and we were actually very, very close a couple of years ago, but like I said, we got hit with that tough winter, and it knocked our population back, so it may be a few years before we get back to that level. But the current numbers are 200 in Clam Lake and 150 in Jackson County. Now, whether those hunts actually begin when those animals hit 200 or 150, you know, that's something that we review annually. And again, that's why those population estimates and monitoring those animals and coming up with population modeling techniques is so important to what we do.
What does this program cost annually for both the taxpayer and also from donations from local programs?
Well, there's multiple levels to that question. So for the most part, the everyday taxpayer doesn't pay anything into this because it's paid for primarily through money that comes through hunting and fishing licenses and grants and things like that from the sale of hunting and, you know, bullets and guns and things like that. So the project that we are taking on right now to reintroduce the animals, we've got a price tag on of about $600,000, and that money is coming all from private funding sources. So we've got the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation out there, the Jackson County Wildlife Fund I had already mentioned, the Ho-Chunk Nation there in Black River Falls has been a big part of this. We have also received money from, you know, other sources. The Chippewa tribes annually put money into it through tribal gaming funds. So overall, the general elk program itself is about a $200,000 a year program, and those costs are probably going to go up a bit now that we've got another herd in Jackson County. But so there's a variety of funding sources depending on which part of the project you're really focusing on.
Are there good times and places for the public to go to view these elk in Jackson County?
Well, right now that's a little bit tough to nail down. You know, eventually we intend to have some viewing areas and things like that that we're sure are going to help the public see the elk. And, you know, for tourism and everything else, it'll be a great resource for them as a starting point. But, you know, with only 21 elk running around out there right now, they're still trying to find their grooves as far as where they really want to spend their time. There is, you know, we've seen some fairly significant movements from one day to the next. So, you know, with so few animals out there, they really haven't established any kind of a pattern yet. And, you know, just as that overall population grows, it's going to get easier and easier to see those elk. So, you know, at the moment right now, I would just recommend that they go out around those county forests and state forest properties and, you know, kind of hope for the best. This is kind of getting to be the tail end of the breeding season. We hadn't heard of a whole lot of bugling, the sound that they make in the fall when they're breeding. We've not heard of a lot of that in Jackson County, probably because of that, you know, very young bulls that are out there, fairly immature bulls. So, you know, the chances of following your ears to find an elk are going to be pretty difficult right now, too. But again, as that population grows and it spreads out more, we get more mature animals that get more vocal for people to find and listen to, I think it's going to get a lot easier to see them.
Wisconsin DNR big game specialist Kevin Wallenfang, a key player in the elk reintroduction program in Jackson County near Black River Falls. He spoke with WPR's John Davis on this edition of Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. If you missed part of today's discussion, you can find the audio archives at WPR.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers. And if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future programs, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers.